Hello and welcome to the Astroholic podcast. I am Chris.
And I'm Alfredo, the Astroholic.
And today we are going to be answering a few fan questions.
Very excited about today. How are you feeling about the questions?
I think there are a couple of really good questions, and they both come from the same person.
Did we say that it was okay to send us two questions?
I think it's fine. Both questions today come from Laurie, and she is Choice Irregular on Twitter.
Hey, Laurie.
Hello, Laurie. So, I will first of all read you just one question, and then a bit later on we will get to the second question.
Awesome.
Let's start.
Indeed.
So, Laurie says, first of all, as a disclaimer, I just realised I don't know if we know what the inside of other galaxies look like, but here's the question anyway. If we find a solar system in another galaxy, would we expect it to be similar in terms of an inner slash outer solar system with terrestrial planets near a star and gas giants on the outside? What would happen if there were two stars in that system?
This is an awesome question because allows me to go quite philosophical on a lot of things. But we need to remember that science and philosophy go hand in hand.
Sound like Star Trek.
Absolutely sounds like a Star Trek. If you've been keeping up with Chris' journey into sci-fi, is just foraying into Star Trek. So
yay.
It's really science and philosophy at the moment. So, first of all, the disclaimer. The inside of other galaxies look like. The idea that we have is that the Milky Way, that the solar system, that Earth, that humans, and that anything we know shouldn't be special. Although, for as far as we can tell, we're the only place with life. Listen to our last episode. Although we seem so unique, we need to pretend that the laws of physics and everything in the universe is not made for us, that we're not special. So that life could be very common, and that the thing we see here, they should also be very common elsewhere. So, as far as we can tell, galaxies, although there is variation in the type of galaxies and their composition, etc., they are more or less the same. The main component is dark matter, or there is something wrong with the laws of physics. There's something that keeps them together and we cannot see it, and we call that dark matter. But of the things that we can see, there is stars, there is gas, there is dust, and there's black holes, regular variety the size of stars or supermassive. And those are common in almost every galaxy. So, on that assumption, we should expect to see the same type of star system in our galaxy as we see them in ours.
That's really cool. It's because it's always bound by the laws of astrophysics, or physics in general.
The laws of science, and yeah. There should not be any reason, or at least we cannot see any reason why this location is special. But, and there is a but, Rory asked a very specific question.
Yeah, she said, what would happen if there was two stars?
Before that,
Laurie asked,
okay,
if we find a solar system in another galaxy, would we expect it to be similar in terms of an inner outer solar system with terrestrial planets near a star and gas giants on the outside? So I would have assumed that, judging by what you just said, yes, we should expect it to be the same.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now Chris.
Oh,
yes. It's quizzing Chris time. We should have a jingle.
I'll try and find a jingle.
What do you think this inner outer solar system distribution of terrestrial planets and gas giant planets, is it common? Is it not common? From what you know?
I actually don't know anything about... Well, no, wait, I do. Well, maybe. From memory, the only other solar system that springs to mind is the TRAPPIST solar system.
Mm-hmm. TRAPPIST-1.
TRAPPIST-1. With its six, seven planets. I think they were all terrestrial, apart from maybe a couple of liquid-based ones, kind of.
Terrestrial would include still... water worlds that are Earth-sized. Very good.
So I don't think there were any gas giants in that. So
no gas giants.
Terrestrial planets going from the inner to the outer solar system.
Absolutely correct.
So what Laurie's asking is not necessarily correct in the first place. Unless... No, actually, the way she's worded it is because she's saying, should we expect it to be similar like ours?
Mm-hmm.
Which is correct. I apologize, yes. Laurie. Sorry. So we shouldn't expect it to be the same. Because we know that they're not the same.
Well, that is very good. We jump a few conclusions.
Join us next time on our next episode.
No. That was good. That seriously, I'm very proud that you are learning.
I remembered.
Yeah, and you remember, and that was very, very good. Yes, the TROPPIST-1 system is it's got 7 planets and all terrestrial.
Yep.
Which is great, because it's fairly nearby. And they think that it could be a place where life could exist. We are not sure, because it's complicated, the TROPPIST-1 star is a red dwarf, which tend to be a lot more active compared to the sun. So the atmosphere of these planets might have been blown away.
They found out pretty soon after this discovery that they wouldn't have been habitable.
So there is a lot of research saying that it's unlikely that they're habitable.
At least, I guess, by our standards.
By our standard, but also the idea that it's if one of the planets has a strong magnetic field, there could be...
Mm-hmm.
We cannot say they're definitely inhabitable.
How far away was TROPPIST?
I think 39 light years.
Okay, so we're never going to get there.
Well, we're never going to get to a lot of places,
yeah,
but...
Well, ultimately, it doesn't really matter, I suppose.
Yeah. Laurie's question is very interesting, because going to, we need to push that this is not special, like obviously other galaxies need to be, because we should expect that the solar system is not special, that there are plenty of other systems just like ours.
Yeah.
We're yet to find something quite like it.
That's really cool.
So we have seen a system with... some super hertz, so planets are a little bit heavier, sometimes potentially are water worlds, and even a system that has super hertz and sub-giants, so something slightly smaller than Neptune. But something like our solar system is yet to be found. So there are some reason why we're yet to be found is some has to do with how we look for exoplanets. So we tend to look at how a planet shake the star, or the light blocked by those planets. Two very good methods, but it's very good to find planets that orbit very quickly around their stars. Because, for example, if you want to find Jupiter using a transiting method, you would have to observe a star for decades. Because Jupiter orbits every 11 years, and obviously you cannot just base on one data point. You need to have repeated observations.
You need to see it go past and past, so, and past and past again.
This is why it's been very complicated finding something like the solar system. But we need to believe that this is the case. And what would happen if there were two stars in the system? Again, we have nothing analogous as the solar system, so we cannot tell. We have planets in binary systems. Some planets orbit a single star in the system.
Yeah.
Some planets orbit... two stars, and a lot...
Is there anything to be said for whether or not the stars in a solar system will affect terrestrial or gas?
If you have multiple stars...
Or even just, is there any common denominator with just one star in terms of the layout of a solar system?
No, we're still trying to understand how a planetary system form. We find gas giants... that are very, very close to their stars. So we call them hot Jupiters. There are some incredible planets. There's one that is leaking heavy metals into mm-hmm. space because it's so hot and it's so close that the star is stripping it of hydrogen and helium, which are the lighter element, but it's so hot that magnesium and iron, it's actually evaporating and is being lost into space.
Oh, that's an amazing image.
So it's very important to understand that there are such variety that we cannot, at the moment, find a sort of complete theory of planet formation. We haven't found the instruction manual yet, but we know that it's possible for a planet to be in a binary system. They're orbiting a single star, if the two stars are quite far apart. Proxima Centauri, which is in a triple star system, has a planet orbiting just Proxima, it's called Proxima B. And I'm quite certain that they found planets orbiting two stars that are very close to each other. So
wow.
There are possible orbits. There are even some weird, complicated helical orbits that are allowed by gravity around two stars. But we know that it's possible. Obviously, the helical orbit, I think it would be very unlikely for it to happen. But we don't have the full understanding of the system. And I hope that this answers Laurie's first question.
I would guess that it does. I think that was absolutely fascinating to learn about that. Onwards to question two.
Onwards to question two.
We know that space agencies won't allow pregnancy in space because it's not safe, especially not an actual birth. But eventually this will have to be considered if we want long-distance space travel and to set up bases on other worlds. So how far can this be put off? How far off can they stop pregnancies and space births?
I think this should be put off for as long as possible. I think that it's extremely risky to become pregnant in space.
To become pregnant in space?
To be pregnant in space.
Okay.
And certainly childbirth, it would be incredibly dangerous.
Is that because of low gravity situations?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if low gravity might be, you know, better in, like, similar to having a birth.
Like a water birth.
Yeah, like a water birth. But it's the risk that we cannot really help, we cannot do any type of procedure safely in microgravity.
Has none ever been attempted?
No, because...
Not even on lab animals?
I am actually not sure about that, but it's... We know that any older plans for, like, potential necessary future surgeries in space, like on long-distance mission, they are very, very... Oh, this is if there is no other choice.
Okay.
They even started trying to design what a surgery unit would look like, because obviously, with no gravity...
Blood.
Organs as well.
Oh, floating around, bumping into people.
There are other issues that we need to consider. Any astronaut loses muscle mass because they don't have to fight gravity, but they also lose bone density. They're losing calcium.
Oh.
About 1 to 2% of their bone density every month.
As in their bones just waste away?
Yeah, they become more brittle.
Oh.
Yeah.
So they dry up from the inside or something, and they just, as humans, they get lighter.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit lighter, I guess.
Yeah.
So that makes it more dangerous for... Well, I guess it's so, speeding up the aging process, effectively.
In a way, yes. But it's already, like, doctors warn here on Earth women suffer from brittle bones to avoid
space
a natural birth.
Oh.
Not on space travel, but probably also space travel. But definitely...
To avoid natural birth.
Yeah, because the pelvis could fracture in the process.
Oh, God.
And I'm not sure there's any... ever been... some investigation about bone repairs if bones manage to fuse back together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, broken limbs. Surely someone must have had... Okay, this is going to sound terrible, but surely someone must have had a horrific accident on board the ISS or something that required urgent medical attention. Surely.
No.
Surely.
No.
They can't all be that careful at all times. Surely there must have been some accident.
What is...
No. It's not even careful. Okay. It's like an accident. What if one of them goes to reach for something and they trip over and smack into a wall or, I don't know...
Wait a minute. Chris.
Yeah?
Tell me, how would they trip over in the ISS?
I'm don't they have some areas that aren't low gravity? They have some... Oh no, is that not real?
No.
Is that just in films?
No, that is just in films.
Fake gravity.
Fake gravity, is it just in films? So no, okay. Nobody has ever tripped and fall somewhere on the ISS.
Okay.
Okay.
What if...
Mm-hmm.
What if they didn't fall anywhere because they can't, but what if they accidentally, like, floated into a knife or something? I mean, there's...
speed do you think them and the knife are going?
What if it went in their eye? It wouldn't have to be... I mean, okay.
Okay.
We're getting off topic. Sure, there must have been record of some physical medical accident on the ISS.
I am not sure, and I never heard of anything serious enough.
Okay. I'm going to investigate this.
You can investigate, and you can report next...
I will report back.
Next episode. So, I think that another issue is infection. You might be familiar with the concept of antibiotic resistance. So, bacteria have become used to our antibiotics and cannot be killed as easily. Usually, at the moment, we are using combinations of antibiotics to try to kill them off. But there is the potential that eventually we're gonna get to bacteria that cannot be killed off with anything that we have so far.
That's the thing that's basically gonna kill everyone if climate change doesn't get there first.
Yeah, I was about to say, nah, climate crisis is gonna hit us first. Yes, it's another possibility, or I wouldn't say that is gonna be devastatingly deadly, but it would bring us back on how life was before antibiotics. But in space, things are even worse because bacteria are even sturdier. So infection that we can treat here on Earth might be untreatable up there.
I see. Are there any investigations or experiments being done in that field?
Yes, there's a lot of investigation. They're also looking at special coatings for material that bacteria cannot grow on.
Wow.
Which is absolutely fascinating. And I think that potentially something that, or coating that bacteria found extremely toxic. And they think that that could be a potential avenue, like you can coat surgical instruments and spacecraft that we're sending it to potentially look for life elsewhere. It's very exciting. I think they have a few results, but I don't think there's anything like revolutionary just yet.
Would bacteria not do exactly the same as they do with antibiotics? Would they not evolve a resistance to this toxic material and grow on it?
I think the way that it is, I think it's not the molecules, but it's the structure of the material. I can't remember the study precisely. But the idea is that this material doesn't allow bacteria to grow on it, okay, rather than killing
them
off.
It's more about not letting them take hold rather than being alive on it. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
So this is going to be my answer. I think that I think it would be an unnecessary risk to become pregnant, be pregnant, and giving birth in space.
So to finish off the question, how long do you think that could be put off? Do you think it can be pushed quite far into the future because we're not there yet in terms of medical support?
Yeah, and there is still so much that needs to be solved. This is just another of the many, many challenges that will have to be addressed. And not the childbirth specifically, but in terms of medical, advanced medical care in a long-term mission to another planet. It's something that needs to be addressed before we seriously plan to go to Mars. The fact that there's not been serious discussion on how to address this, it's a point of concern, but there are many points of concern on how can we guarantee that we're sending people to Mars and we're going to get them back alive.
That's actually really good food for thought, and actually, again, much like the first question, not something that I had ever considered, especially in terms of where we're at medically and technologically in terms of giving support to that sort of thing. So we're going to finish it there for this episode. Thank you very much, Laurie, for both those questions.
I hope that answer, although the ending wasn't too cheery about our prospect in expanding beyond Earth.
Do you have any burning questions for the Astroholic? If so, send them in to me, at Illucifer, on Twitter, and I will spring it on him in an upcoming episode. See you next time!